Welcome to the September 17th, 2019 meeting. We're starting at 8:41. The special meeting of the Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition by the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to a regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentation at the time of your request. Let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda. So moved.
In the agenda, did we have an executive session?
No, we do not.
Oh, we don't. Okay.
Good. No.
Okay. I'll second that.
Any more discussion after exiting that?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comment period. Citizens may address the commission regarding any item related to court items, including items on the agenda. We ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes so that everyone has a chance, okay? And we have another public comment period at the end of the meeting, too. So, who would like to go first? Jerry?
I'm just here to come and listen and see what's going on.
Ron?
I'm just here to see what Jerry says.
Mary?
I'm here with you then.
Me too.
Yes, I came to hear about the alternative loon bog.
Okay. So, we move on to our action items. Lindbog holding lot review and approval of scope of work.
So, staff is seeking commission approval to negotiate and execute a contract with Pertique for the SR 104 remote ferry holding lot. Staff is seeking commission approval to negotiate and execute a contract with Pertique for the SR 104 remote ferry holding lot. Contracted scope is expected to be completed by the end of March 2020. Estimated total cost with a not to exceed limit for services is $412,932. This contract is basically the scope of work was this ongoing and feasibility study for the Lindbog site, and there was some amendment to the scope of work to also include a fatal flaw analysis for another area which is down by the Washington State ferry. There will be a fatal flaw analysis for both sites. That's right. And the fatal flaw analysis primarily, it looks like, for example, if it's possible at all from a capacity standpoint, and or from stormwater issues or soils. So there's four different items that people usually look for, or if there's cultural, for example, if there was artifacts. There's already been a cultural analysis done on the Lindbog. That actually was pretty thorough, but we're still going to re-examine that just to be sure.
When was that analysis done?
I think the analysis was done in 96. But because it's 20 years old, it's still just,
And the site downtown is where? What?
So the site downtown is the area just north of the current Washington State Ferry holding lot, so that would include the Washington Park, Washington Boulevard, and then an area that extends up along SR 104 as you exit the ferry area. So it's not a perfect shape, but it basically extends north to expand that lot is what they're looking at, is what the study. It would go up just right up to the SR 104 highway.
Better
It's not on the website, but I can post it. I can also email you.
It's really helpful to have it.
And we have.
I have some more copies.
Yeah, he has some copies. And it's actually it's three sites.
Well.
A, B, and C.
Yes.
The two down there.
Yes, it's multiple sites.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all clear.
So would the study cover all three
sites? Yes, the fatal flaw analysis.
Only the fatal flaw analysis. The primary emphasis by far is the Lindbach holding site, but this expands it to include other potentially other options, at least from again from a fatal flaw analysis. Is it even possible, and would it how much capacity would it potentially add? So it isn't really it's not intended to do the same thing that we're going to really do, which is the meat and potatoes of the whole thing is the Lindbach feasibility study. That's by far, but because this was brought forward, felt like, hey, we should at least give visibility to it and say, hey, is there absolutely, you know, for whatever reason, absolutely no reason why we should even look at these other options. Does that make sense?
There's three other strategies that we're looking at for fatal flaw analysis. The fatal flaw analysis for those three will show up at the same time that the Lindbach fatal flaw portion is done. Then we'll be able to look and say, does Lindbach essentially work? There's been some noises from, some indications from some of the engineers involved, not on the consultant side, but on the agency side, concerns about the Lindbach site that it may not work and may not be feasible. And we're very concerned that we not end up halfway into the contract with something that doesn't work. And then where do we go? Back to zero. So these various alternatives that we're also going to fatal flaw analyze, capacity and then basic cost, is will allow us at that point, if there is a problem with Lindbach, to say, okay, do any of these we want to carry forward. That opens up another whole huge line of conversation with the community. But at this point, you know, this is kind of the hip pocket piece. The other aspect is that the ferry traffic we're experiencing today is in no way going to look the same 5 to 10 years from now, let alone 15 to 20. And so is Lindbach the answer forever, or will there need to be some staging, some additional pieces that have to be called into play at some point in the future? This gives us an understanding of what those potentials might be, which as we design Lindbach, we need to understand what else might come forward, because the ferry situation is not static. It's growing, and it's going to continue to grow. And I think that's pretty obvious. Not only, and the parking issues are going to become ever more intense as the passenger ferry gathers ridership. And so we need a bigger picture than this idea, which is probably a great one that came up 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And even then we said there may be problems, but now there's greater concern now that it's here among the agencies that there could be problems with slope, with stormwater, and so on and so forth. And the whole issue, of how you actually operationally connect the Lindbach with the realignment down further below Coffee Oasis, that still sends traffic down across Uptown. There may be ways to do that don't clog up Uptown, but those need to be identified. So there's some challenges here. It seems very simple. You just electronics are going to take us. I'm sorry.
Are you planning to be looking at other out-of-town options?
other lots on Limbaugh or further out for holding?
Well, there is another lot on down beyond Limbaugh, beyond the county's property, 10 acres that, thank you, my joy, that belongs to someone locally that got brought up very recently as a possibility. And I'm sure there will be additional conversation and discussion of at least what that property looks like, if it, which some of the key, how do you connect the lot with the holding lane, with the realignment, will be the same, essentially, for a piece further out. And if we get to the point where Limbaugh doesn't work and we really need to consider a different alternative, then I'm sure at that point we'll bring those things back in. But the question of capacity in Limbaugh and capacity in a 10-acre lot out that's on down the road, the conversation has been that it is, that capacity analysis is much more straightforward than the whole, these other possibilities which involve putting a lid over the existing lot or expanding to the north or expanding west. Those all have, I mean, what are we really talking about in terms of number of cars? Is that even reasonable, or property take and that kind of thing? So we need a better understanding before we can go forward. And a piece on down the road that's in single ownership, pretty straightforward, willing seller, et cetera, should, would get considered at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Sorry.
Thank you. When you talk about fatal cause, what is the car capacity that makes it a fatal flaw? I don't understand that. I don't, is that quantified? With 50 cars, 500 cars, is there a number that...
Well, I think that that is, will be discussed by the agencies and the engineers, what that exactly means. And I think it would be presumptuous for us to try to say now, until WSF and DOT and everyone has put pencil to paper to figure out how many boatloads are we talking about and what really is a boatload and are we ever going to really fill up the parking lot when, I mean, there's a lot of questions
so
that are going to...
That's the whole point of the study. Yeah, right.
So I'll follow up on this. So, you know, normally when you go into a fatal flaw analysis, you have a fatal flaw criteria established up front. And it seems to me that needs to be done by powers that be before you go out and do a contract, rather than go out and give a contract to someone to help. They'll tell you, okay, here are the fatal flaws, and then they go back and evaluate against that. So it seems to me that the expenditure of the money might be putting a little bit of money, or putting the horse in front of or putting the carriage in front of the horse, number one. Number two, the alternatives you have here is that low profile. Even Dave Ritter is starting to back away from that, saying, you know, that might not be the answer, because it's not just a capacity issue. It's a capacity and a flow rate of cars coming into the back end of the line and how quickly those cars can be put forward. And even if you increase the capacity at the waterfront, on heavy days, we will still have backup through town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So I'm kind of struggling with what's the purpose of the consultantship. If one of the people putting forward, at least one of them, knows the thought process, but it's probably not going to work. So why should we spend the money?
Mm-hmm.
So to a follow-up. Is it possible before you get too engaged with your engineering to maybe have a meeting, and I don't care whether it's just you four guys or the county or whatever, to talk about how we tell the engineers what our criteria are because we live here. And, you know, I've done a lot of government work, and that's what we always do. We lay out what the parameters are, and we tell the engineers what we want. We don't let the engineers kind of guess what we want because we live here. Is it possible to maybe, before we spend all that $400,000, to to take a look and say, okay, what do we really want to accomplish and what is our criteria and what we're trying to do with the little town of Kingston?
It'll cost another couple of months. And the reality is, I mean, I imagine we all have answers to that. When it was just Lindvog, that was pretty straightforward. That's pretty well defined. And the questions that exist are technical questions. We aren't going to say we're changing stormwater parameters. We're not making that decision. The county's making that decision. We're not making the decision of whether, of how to link Lindvog sending cars down. That's a technical decision that WSF will make with DOT. And with input from the whole team, but those aren't community decisions. When we get to the point where we had, if there's alternatives and we say, okay, this is how we think, then we will definitely bring it out to the community. But again, I'm just talking just about Lindvog right now. That's pretty straightforward. If we add in these other things, I have a great concern that on several levels. We're not asking them to say, yes, these will work, no, they won't. We're asking them to come back with, what's the capacity? How would you envision that working? What other things might affect this? What are you talking about in terms of property takes and cost? Some very basic parameters that then we can sit down as a community and say, what do we need to do? What do we think about all of this? I'm very concerned at this point with the realignment going on and going through its final design process that this project links up enough that there can be the problem solving of how you link those two pieces of infrastructure through the town. We already have basically blessed Lindvog as a community. I mean, that's been sitting there now for a long time, that this is where it goes. There's not going to be a no, we're not going to do it unless it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm very concerned about the timing. You've got this project going that way, that its entry area needs to work with Lindvog. So saying, oh, let's stop and spend a bunch of time and go through the Kingston conversation that we've gone through on so many things, including the decision to not have a series of public meetings before we started the Lindvog analysis was because we're not going to hear anything new. We've all talked about the ferry traffic until we want to throw up in the morning, at least I do. And our sense was, in consultation with the consulting firm, the engineering firm, that the point at which we really need community engagement at this point is when we know something more than we already know. And so that was kind of the rationale behind that.
I wasn't familiar with these three additional options that you mentioned at KCAC. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they came from and why you're even considering them instead of if Lindvog doesn't work, why not find another place out of town that doesn't work? I'm baffled why you're spending money doing this study.
Well, for one thing, we're spending about 3% of the project cost on it. So it's not wildly changing the cost parameter. But the idea of decking over, why don't you show those at this point?
Well, that's what this handout is that this has these alternatives. Now, Dave Wetter, a few months ago, actually, provided this to us as a conceptual. One thing you'll see if you just look on that second page there, well, you can kind of read this, at your leisure, if you will, but there's these separate alternatives, and I have a bigger drawing of this right here. This idea is that you'd have these the exit lane, and then four lanes that go into the ferry line. And they're talking about a purchase, and I think that's in the works as well, of a condemnation procedure that they're talking about with those houses just to the north of where the current ferry exit line is, if you're all with me on where that road is. And so that idea then is four different lanes that can hold cars and hold them and wait, have people just wait for them and that they can be filled in. And then the ferry booth inside here, where am I? Here we go. The ferry booth is going to be reoriented. This is in the works anyway as a plan to get the ferry out of Main Street, the entrance to the ferry out of Main Street. That's in the works and in the plan anyway. So that whole idea would be to have several additional lanes that could queue, and then the ferry would then be able to, this would attenuate, I think he said 100 and, is it here? We had a car count on 150 cars, or just an alternate B. So you'd have, oh, actually there's five lanes. So you'd have five lanes that would be essentially this entrance to the ferry that would queue up in that point. And then once the parking area itself was loading, then those people would stage in, they go through the ferry booth and pay for parking and get inside there. So those people would stage into these five separate lanes. And then the ferry traffic itself, as it's coming off, you know, would not be stopped. So that would be full lanes that would come out. And those exiting lanes would go normally back out to the highway and wherever they go from there, right? And then so one of the other concepts that Dave had come up with, spelled out a little bit more on the alternate B of how the lanes would work. So you'd have these lanes queued up and then they stage in. And then the last thing was his idea of a decking. So you have the decking and then the bottom would stay the same. And then on page 4 of that whole thing, then there'd be the detail of a ramp going up and then cars queuing in like this, right? And then they come off of the ramp itself and onto the ferry. These people would already be on the booth in this rendition. So his calculation was that you'd have an additional 400 spaces with the alternate C, because you'd have the upper level and the lower level. Upper level, 163 additional spaces. The lower level, there'd be 249 spaces. There'd be some spaces eliminated, obviously, because of foundation. And then the trucks still have to come through the same way they do. You can't get a truck up an elevated. And then the other thing that he had mentioned to me was that he didn't feel that this upper deck needed to be too terribly high, because we need to just convey cars underneath. But any other car that's over that current height limitation anyway, they have to go somewhere else. So, you know, horse trailers or things like that are already queued in where the trucks are anyway.
So does he think that this top level then is level with where the new park is now? Or?
I don't know exactly. I would guess that it's not more than 10 feet underneath. So then you'd have obviously a foundation on top of that. To me, a fatal flaw that would happen here would be What about the substrate? What's underneath there? What do we do with foundation support? How does that pan out? And this is some of the stuff that this engineering firm will be able to provide to us. Well, it is, but they're looking at everything to do with, you know, Limbaugh as well. You know, what's the fatal flaws for Limbaugh? Not just about capacity, but about the space. Do we have wetland problems? Do we have a stormwater situation that will cost so much that it's not attainable? Yeah.
Concerns, and I don't know how valid it is, but I'm worried about vehicle emissions, and with the ramp and additional jockeying and maneuvering and in and out and around and about, that's going to create more pollution.
It would, but people are directed to turn their car off. You know, I don't know how you police that, but you would have more emissions, just the sheer number of cars.
Yeah.
Hopefully, though, in the future, we'll have all electric cars.
Right.
We're getting that way, seems to be. So,
they turn them off usually in force, they tell you to turn them off, but also you have more emissions if you think about it, though they're idling all the way up the road, so I think you have more controls when you have it there.
I'm thinking of remote rolling area where they're not idling their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have one straight road down and remote, and there's not an intermediate around.
And one of the things that that felt rather important as well is that if there was a way to get all of the people into the downtown core, then the downtown businesses would also benefit, because someone's on the upper deck, well, there's no way they're getting the next boat. So those people, if they're queued up there, or say queued up in the other lane, would be able to do a little commerce kind of thing with the town. And with Main Street being then fully open to a real live town.
Well,
you know,
that Main Street for people who live in Kingston. And
exactly.
I assume that people
that's
who
the
are
whole
in the ferry line will have already bought everything they wanted to buy. Well,
they can do. They have that option.
So I have a question. You know, we can go through these alternatives, and I think everybody will have some questions about this or that, or pollution, or the ramps and all that kind of stuff. And it would seem to me that, you know, the endorsement of the Lindbaugh, and, you know, I'm all for controlling the traffic, and if Lindbaugh is the answer to that, along with Greenline, fine with me, but there are other alternatives, and to take 3%, I think that's what you said, Mary.
Yep.
3% of those, I don't see how these can even be adequately evaluated to decide, you know, what their costs are, what the time frame is, what impact they would have, what benefits they have, and relative to Lindbaugh. I mean, what you're telling me under the table here is that Lindbaugh's a done deal. And I know you're going to argue with that, but at 3%, that's nothing. That's what, $12,000? I mean, that's nothing.
Well, the Petit seems confident that they can provide enough information about Lindbaugh and the other three to be comparative.
Pardon? You guys did, or did they?
Pardon?
Who put the 3% on the table?
We didn't. That was their estimate.
$12,000?
13, actually.
That's $3,000 for each of these concepts. $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it for $20,000 for you.
No, thank you.
There's one more thing that we're going to be looking at as well. There's a local business owner in town that provided a PowerPoint to us a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And there's this additional concept. I don't have a lot of copies of it, but we have a PowerPoint presentation of this. I PDF that and I'll send that over, and then we can distribute that. But this particular idea, let's see if I can kind of conceptualize it here. We've got this, this is the presentation. We have a holding lane. That's the existing holding lane here, right? And then he talks about Kingston Terminal existing physical attributes, the overall area, toll booth ticketing, etc., employee parking area. The overall area does not include drive on area pedestrian ramps and the exit road. And then the Kingston Terminal current lane usage. We have transit and shuttle buses. We have an ADA pickup. We have carpool, vanpool, medical preference lane. And then he's kind of done a numeric on all these different components. There's a safety separation for emergency access. There's a traffic leftover from the last load that those folks will be the first on, you know, that rotational thing that they do down below there in that lane. And then the remaining 160 cars placed on the dock prior to the later arrivals are in lane 7. So lane 7 is kind of where everything starts and goes across.
Can you circulate that?
Yeah, I can as we go maybe. And I wish I just did not have enough time to make a copy here. But let me just stand up. So the Kingston Terminal capacity per lane use is the next component that he looked at. Currently 286 cars, 15 to 20 oversized. And then length, I think, and then 11, two, let's see, he's got 11 carpool spaces. So then here's the current auto queuing. He's got that mapped out here. So all the way down at Balmoral really is where that lane opens up for staging, the current staging on the existing highway. And then back past Barber Cutoff, and then up to where they get the tally slip. So there's that piece. Oh, sorry.
I already did that.
And then here we've got the current auto queuing that's going on there, and that obviously is then getting us to this next concept, which he's essentially presenting, which would be a this next concept that he's going to then talk about is some existing land that's in town that could be a potential. And that particular potential includes part of the park, which we need to look at in a little more detail. I'll pass that along. And he really gets into the refinements of, you know, costs and things like that too. So the terminal expansion scope is this idea. The operating benefits, well, the fact is that this would provide, you know, more parking, more queuing. Again, same idea where you've got cars that are going to be down in the downtown core and not held outside. That's the main meat of it. And then it would just require the acquisition of 5 properties for 60,000 square feet. He's got total assessed value of $1.2 million. Yeah. Not sure if that's the case. Market value, $2 million. It could theoretically reconfigure the Washington Park. We want to look at that in a lot more detail. And then a vacation of some of Washington Boulevard.
Can I, this expansion piece would be over where the Kingston Hotel is.
Yes.
Is that historically...
It would need to be,
moved?
Would need to be moved.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So then the overall concept, and I don't know if I can sit in such a way everybody can see this, but this overall concept then, here's the current holding lane, here's the additional parking, and all this, I think he's got in a... where is that? Yeah, he's got that then a little more detail on the existing booth area. Here's the existing booth. And the idea that you have a new toll booth area, that he has a concept of it being further up the hill. One of the things we talked about was, doesn't that push the town traffic back out into the town, the uptown portion?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that's the thing for traffic engineers to look at, you know. And then the terminal holding lanes, these would be the holding lanes as a configuration, and a concept for Washington Park to rotate the park and move the park. And again, this is a PowerPoint that I saved as a PDF, so we'll share this with you guys. Again, Washington Boulevard Park and a potential Washington Boulevard vacation to have those cars in that area right down near. He's got details of properties to be acquired. I will not get into that. Ideas of funding sources. WASDOT, obviously, the county, Step Transit, you know, grants and things like that. I think we've got into basically the meat and potatoes of what the actual thought is here. And I wish I would have numbered these pages, but I don't know.
My vision, I kind of guess, why is this a court problem and not the state? Why?
Well, I think the port is taking this on as a venture to look at everything possible with this understanding that we're trying to get the community to be a functional business community so that people are not suffering with cars out in front and people can't turn into a business. So that's a big push here, is to get the highway people that are going to go to the highway down to the ferry in a safe way so that they're not queued in the middle of town. And so then the big ideas are these bits and pieces of what kinds of things could we do to get people into the core of town, and that's why we wanted to look at these other alternatives, because if we can get people in and through town in a quick way, that makes
sense.
Are
you interested in doing the studies but not actually in doing the construction or making it happen? Those funds would come from somebody else?
The funds would, but we may be in being the lead in the construction as well. That's part of the thing to look at.
And
yes?
The whole issue with funding is timing. If there were absolutely no interest from any of the larger agencies in getting this in the front of the funding queue, I think that is really, really bad news for Kingston. And I believe that the timing of some kind of a solution is very important to our future. And would the port participate in funding? I think that's an open question based on what kind of a, first of all, what the price tag is of any of this, and secondly, what other funding sources are available and willing. And I myself, not speaking on behalf of the commission, but I myself am willing to think about the port's role in funding in order to make this happen before downtown Kingston is ruined by increases in traffic and increases in population.
Question. So this proposal, I think, was originally Plan A?
Originally.
So is this still as a possibility?
As much as the others are. The possibility, I mean, right now, we're committed to Limbaugh. Pardon?
That's still going to be part of the fatal flaw analysis?
Yes.
I would put forward that that should not even be part of it because it pushes more parking down to the waterfront, number one. Number two, it surrounds the core area on three sides by the port. Three sides. So there's no expansion opportunity for private enterprise. I think this is not even worth a dime to evaluate it. I'm sorry to be kind of negative here, but you know, you and I have talked in the past. I don't think that should even be on the books. My opinion.
So,
Ron,
I just,
Beth first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Speaking for myself, not for KCSD, my main interest in attending today was just to make sure I understand. The three options are very, you know, kind of outlined at the KCSD meeting the other night. Are all very infrastructure focused, and I just want some assurance that people understand that there's virtual queue options that are available that don't involve all this infrastructure. And I didn't hear that, and I just want to make sure that someone brought up, and I think Dave has talked about the idea of virtual queues. Like, I want kind of movement in Kingston of like wristbands and say, what would Disney do? Because we need to think like Disney. I need to think like, what's the minimal additional parking necessary that we absolutely need? And then the rest should be a technology-based solution, whether that's reservations or virtual queuing, like that leverages technology or kiosk, so that we can disperse the traffic and not have three traffic loads of cars in Kingston at any time. So I just want some assurance that when you're looking at the solutions, that you're also considering technological solutions and automation solutions that make it so that cars, no more than one and a half ferry loads of cars, is in the Kingston core at any given time. And there are lots of opportunities to do that, and we need to make sure we challenge ourselves to think creatively about that. I'm happy to help. So that I'm kind of an ideation person, and so you know, Chris Island is also on the same page with that. And I think we have this huge opportunity right now to really leverage these advanced technology solutions and really challenge the WSS to think in a more futuristic way as well. So
we made sure that the team includes an expert in that. And Washington State Ferries is also looking to get that input and figure out how that could possibly work, recognizing that it potentially has applications at other terminals.
And I'll just mention that we are gifted right now with a person in the executive director position at the chamber who is a techie, who's connected to techies. And so she's going to be a huge asset to just think and connect with people who are tech thinkers about what could be possible. So just an idea.
And then I'll make one more observation about economic development and the interests of local business owners. And I think that we have to look at the 760 households that are going to come to Arborwood and the design development and all the other housing that's coming to Kingston. And why not have Kingston downtown be for people who live in Kingston, not for people who are just traveling through? I don't I don't think that we need to park everybody in downtown Kingston for Kingston businesses to thrive. I think the idea of opening it up so that Kingston people can get there with the tremendous influx in population that we're expecting. So let's be forward thinking.
Last one.
Last one. Some people I have two questions, but the first of all, what I'm hearing from your public out here is that there are certain things that are important to people. Living downtown, the blocking of the retail around this area, we have a very strong PGA, it's not very big, and we're going to be dependent on retail sales and all that. I go back again, I mean, some of these things are important criteria, whether it's for Lindbaugh parking or for it's one of these four or five alternatives, and I'm sure more of them will come in. So my fear is that we need a better criteria. And I'm also, my second question, if I may, be the last one, is that I don't understand the hurry of this stuff. I mean, the timeline of doing any of this is going to be for a long time. And you say that you're worried about the schedule, that we need to do this now. I don't understand that. But I do picture you guys in the commission back in 1960 when you built the marina and you built the parking lot. You had to deal with all of the parties you're doing now. I hope you're successful as they were in getting something done. That's my hope.
So I'd just like to make one comment in that the issue around the timing has to do with the final design of the bypass. And they don't turn around and say, okay, oh, this is new information, let's redesign it. It doesn't work that way. If we have to make sure we dovetail with what the county and the state are doing on the realignment. And that's the timing I'm talking about. The other timing I'm talking about is longer term, and that is getting this built, getting a solution that achieves what we want in a time frame that will make a difference to how the downtown and the rest of the community unfolds. And I have done enough, been involved with enough private development to know that that's a real issue. 2 years from now, we could be transformed in a way we don't like. I'm concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good discussion. Thank you. So these were action items, Lindbaugh Holding Lot, and approval of contract with All American Leadership.
Are these are two separate?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll start with Lindbaugh Holding Lot, review and approval of scope of work.
I move that we approve the critique agreement to Lindbaugh Holding Lot feasibility study.
And I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Approval of contract with All American Leadership.
Can I make a comment about what that is intending to do? We have a lot of new staff, and the core of the staff on the ground, working with the marina, working with the grounds, and so on and so forth, has traditionally, not because there was a tradition to follow, but it has evolved, been a very cohesive, wonderful asset to this community and to the whole region in terms of what people love about Kingston. As I'm sure you know, we lost Steve, the maintenance lead, this past year. And so there's a new person there. There's a new person at the desk downstairs. And the entire management team at on the non-water side is new. And there's scars from the years of lawsuits. There's we have an opportunity to bind this team of people together from a group into a team. And so this is a contract to go through a team building process that looks to identify values, to learn new ways of behavior, learn ways of handling difficulties that will be constructive and jumpstart the next generation of staffing at Port of Kingston. That's my comment.
This is also something that the commission is going to be going through with the staff, because we feel it's very, very important for us all to be on the same page and to be all communicating in a way that's effective and that it works.
And I think that on the same page often means to people that we all agree about everything. And in fact, I think one of the really positive things I enjoy with this commission and our current staff is that it's not just that we agree to disagree, it's that there's enough respect among us for each other's perspectives and thinking that we listen to each other. And I don't think we ever say, I'm just going to agree to disagree. I think we affect each other's thinking about things. And so I think that's a really important outcome to really grow that even further.
Thank you. So, have this on the table, approval of contract with All American Leadership.
I move to approve the contract with All American Leadership.
And I will second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. So we kind of had already jumped over and did the discussion. So Lindbaugh's holding lot and review approval of scope of work. So I'm going to jump ahead to the public comment, our second public comment period. So who would like to speak? Anybody? Okay. Can you say your name, please? Can you say your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, Anita Gillespie. Sorry.
Thank you.
Are you going to publicize a large meeting up here for people? Like, if Mary hadn't told me about this,
we publicize all our meetings.
All of our meetings.
I know you do, but
you can get on a list that you can let our upstairs office know. If you give them...
It's ridiculous if there's only six when all these businesses are so affected in town.
This is very typical of one of our meetings. We usually have no one in the audience except for maybe Ron. But they're advertised on the website. They're on the community sign. And you can also get your email on a list where you will be notified of upcoming meetings.
I'm thinking more of all the businesses downtown that really need to be here and have an input. I don't even know if they knew about, they probably did know about the meeting, you know?
Well, go ahead. I think when we have something to share, then yes, there will be meetings and they will be well publicized.
Okay.
Because I think at this point we have some ideas on paper.
Yeah.
Other people's ideas on paper. No engineer has looked at them. WSF has not looked at them. No one has looked at them. And within 60 days, there'll be something concrete to at least say, here's some thoughts. And get a lot of public input. At that point, we definitely need, especially if Lindbaugh doesn't work.
Yeah.
If Lindbaugh works, then we can potentially say, oh great, we'll look at these other things on down the line. But if Lindbaugh doesn't work, we've got to hustle and we'll have a lot of work to do in making a decision about where to go next. And yes, the community absolutely has to be involved in that.
I guess
question came up at the KCAC meeting. What do we mean, what do you guys mean by does it work? I mean, what's the minimum capacity that you would consider to be a workable project?
Well, I don't think we know that yet.
Okay.
And part of the question of capacity is, okay, obviously there's capacity in Kingston to hold all of these cars, but it's all on the road. I mean, it's not where we want them. And so if there's capacity at Lindbaugh, there's capacity on the holding lot, there's also the whole issue of using the capacity on the holding lot well, which we all know isn't happening. And so are we looking at how does the staging work, how many boatloads where? And that's the capacity that we're talking about, trying to understand how any of these things could actually funnel through the number of boatloads that we anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question, one of the questions I have of a lot of concern to me is, what are we designing to? Are we trying to make the Saturday, Sunday, Monday monstrosity, and some days it's Friday, Saturday, you know, we all know that, to make sure that that's completely managed in designated spots? Does it mean that most of the time things are handled in designated spots? I think that's a huge conversation that as we get to decision points with the agencies that we'll need to come back and connect with the community on.
I would offer that in addition to the concept of a holding lot at Lindbaugh, I could envision the utility of it being a flow-through, drive-through kiosk space that gets constructed so that it's off the road, but it's literally a bend, a bubble, to allow the kiosk gate arm to operate off the road.
And
that could be a more realistic
approach
that could be viable given the constraints of that parcel.
Well, I'm really excited about getting the consultants to review Chris Iflin's data. I'm really excited about even beginning the conversation about how we do innovative things as opposed to just what's been tried everywhere else.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
One thing I'll add is the concept of the virtual queue. You wouldn't want everyone to come to the Lindbaugh spot to get in the virtual queue because then they're already in Kingston or the edge of Kingston. You want to catch them way earlier so they can be dispersed throughout North Kitsap ideally. So that's why I brought up in KCAC and in discussion that there is also a state-owned parcel at Strebel's Corner. And so that could be an even more useful kiosk drive-through space for people to interact with a virtual queue machine that allows them to then say, I'm going to spend my hour and a half before I can even enter the staging lot in Tulsa at Central Market, or I'm going to go back to Butcher and Baker and have lunch there. And that's how you disperse the volume so that Kingston doesn't see, Kingston sees a beneficial amount of traffic, but not the full slog of traffic that we can envision, you know, on a busy day.
And I think that's one of the reasons that having those five agencies together is going to be really important, because Kitsap Transit, as I understand it, is anticipating a park and ride out there at Strebel's. And others, private investors, are talking about doing things in that area. So
functionality.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're moving on. Our next regular meeting on the agenda, it says it's Wednesday, September 25th at 1 p.m., but it's actually at 9 a.m. that day.
Yeah,
and it will be here. That meeting has been changed because the commission is going to an environmental conference in Chelan that afternoon. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Right. Yeah. No, sure.
Yeah,
I'll move the
adjourn.
That'd be awesome.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is this being recorded?
Yes.
Okay, so I would like to say how useful this is. How very useful it is. And I think as we go forward, we want to make sure that there's opportunities for really good conversation about this.
You know, for the people that want more people involved, like the business owners and that, because it's recorded, all of those meetings are recorded and they're on the website, we should encourage for this meeting, to listen to that, and they'll get an inkling as to all of the issues that this board of commissioners are facing, and maybe the next time you need a bigger room.
So there has been a little lapse in them actually getting onto the website, which we want to correct that lapse, and so we're going to be moving forward with looking at getting that accomplished. So just FYI. It's still on. So meeting adjourned at 9:42. Thank you.
It was an exception to our regular schedule.
The gentleman left.